Amen. Powerful word already been given. Just powerful word. And as in agreement with that word, my brother, part of my family, brings me coffee. Illustrative of the early morning word. While our pastor was talking to us, there was a long-standing principle I have wrote down in my Bible that he has encouraged me to give away. And I have notes everywhere in this Bible. And I've already started praying about who to give it to. And it may be staying in the family if Haley has anything to do with it. But there's a principle, long-standing principle in God's Word that I wanted to just say in agreement with what our pastor taught us. Listen, you can only give away what you've received. The reason many don't give it away is because they haven't received it. But if you've received it, you're required to give it away. And I cannot but think about an episode in the show The Chosen. How many of you has watched that? If you haven't, it'll change your life. It will change your life. There's an episode where Jesus is having a conversation with a man, and here's what he says to the man. I require much of those who follow me. I require nothing of those who don't. To whom much has been given, much is required. Amen? So just in agreement with that, so much I thought about so much it needs to be said as an offspring of what our pastor taught us this morning. How different relationship is from fellowship. I am in relationship with the Lord, but many times my fellowship is broken. Did y'all hear what I said? Thank God it doesn't change relationship. But because it doesn't change relationship, fellowship has to be restored. And it is a requirement. So in terms of that, it's kind of what we're going to be talking about here. What do we do now? There's so much about now that is important, and I can't establish it or describe it enough. I feel in my heart that God is bringing me to some conclusions and concerning my own life and my own call. He's bringing to me some conclusions, which means for everything that has a beginning, there is an ending. Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
And for every ending, there is a new beginning. And so I'm excited about the things that God is concluding in my life and the things that God is starting in my life and establishing in my life. Home for the Holidays has affected me greatly. It's affected me greatly. And so I want to share a little bit as an offspring, an offshoot of my confession before the Lord, and try to get myself back on track. Can I do that in front of you? You suffer through that because I quit preaching sermons a long time ago, and now I'm stuck with having to give to you what's really on my heart, and that's a very vulnerable place to be. But let me tell you, when you have nothing left to lose, it's a good place to be. So that's kind of where I'm at. In Home for the Holidays a couple of weeks ago, Lori talked about prayer. She talked to people about prayer. She talked about words, as Haley's talked about. Praying is the most wonderful experience you'll ever have. How many of you heard what I said? Now listen to this one. Praying is the most dangerous experience you'll ever have. The implications of your prayers are far greater than you can ever realize. I'm not going to ask you to turn to this passage. I'm just going to tell you about it. But there's a passage in the book of Hosea where the prophet married a prostitute. And the woman kept going out after prostitution. Hosea didn't want her. He despised her. But God said, no, you have to have her. And as a type of Christ, Hosea went and purchased back his wife, who was a prostitute. But then something phenomenal happened. There was a prayer that was prayed. And the prayer put a hedge of thorns, the Bible describes it, around his wife. The hedge of thorns was to keep her in the right path. So every time she veered from the path, she encountered pain from the thorns. And that corrected her in her path. Did y'all just hear what I said? So now I want to tell you this. When you pray for someone, understand the implications around your praying. I'm fixing to give you a Bible truth. How many of you have ever heard this? God, I pray if it be your will. How many of you have ever heard that? How many of you have ever said it? How many of you agree with it? I do. I want to pray in the will of God. Jesus said this, Father, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. What was his will? For Jesus to go to the cross. The answer to his prayer was pain. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. So when we pray, Father, protect my children. Father, I pray that your will be done in my children's life. When I pray for you, Lord, I pray for the people of Grace Place that you will keep them in the center of your will. Do you understand the implications that can happen in your life? Are y'all hearing me? Now, listen to this. The reason last week I couldn't help but say, please get in your place. Here's why. How many remember the story of Jonah? Okay, here's what Jonah said. Jonah said, Lord, you want me to go to Nineveh. I don't like those people. I'm not going to those people because just as sure as I go over there and I preach to them, you're going to show up and they're going to repent and they're going to have revival and I don't want them to. So instead, I'm going to Tarshish. I'll show you something, Lord. Jonah, out of God's will, impacted every person on that boat. The boat was about to go under, and Jonah said to everybody, it's my fault. Y'all better pitch me overboard or you're going to die. We get caught up in each other's storms. Please don't bring your storm in here. Would you please not bring your rebellion in here? Don't bring your doubts in here. I'm too old to fight my battles and yours too. Are y'all hearing me? That's why it's important. You have no idea. You think this is just mundane. We go to church and everything. No. there is spiritual dynamics at play that you don't have a clue about. I know you don't have a clue about it. I can tell by the look on your face. You don't really believe it. But because I've encountered it and know that it's real, that's why I say, I ain't going to war with just anybody. I can't. My boat will sink. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm giving you that as a foundation because what we're going to talk about is significantly important in terms of what do we do now. Okay? All through the Old Testament, Israel constantly went through a cycle. And here was their cycle. They would rejoice in the Lord until they grew weary of their blessing. And then they would turn against the Lord to enjoy the desires of their own flesh. And then God would send judgment until they would return to the Lord from the cries of their heart. And then God would restore them. And when God would restore them, they'd go to praising God again, shouting the victory, having a big time till they grew weary of their blessing. And then they would turn away from constant cycle of that over and over and over again. Here's the principle. How many of you want revival? See, I have found myself praying for it. Do you know what the impact of that is? When we're saying, God, send revival. We're saying, God, send judgment. That's the thorns that keeps us in the path of revival. Now, I have to say this because it's significant. There are people in here who have experienced a corporate revival before. Joe and Dawn recited to me how God blessed in a church miraculously, and you encountered revival. There's people here that we encountered revival. Now the hedge of thorns has been placed around you. If you've ever encountered a move of God that changed you, there's thorns placed around you. And if you don't walk in that revival, in that move, pain will come into your life to keep you in the center of what God poured out in your life. Hello? How many of you have ever been saved? You enjoy the free gift of salvation. Jesus is your Lord. But from that moment, a hedge of thorns was placed around you to keep you in the way of salvation. That's why I can say I'm eternally saved. It has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with a spiritual dynamic that God said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. So therefore, there are thorns in my way to keep me in the path of salvation. Amen. Those thorns are painful. Run into them and see what happens. You would think that with the trouble that's already allotted to our lives, that we wouldn't ask for more on top of it. But we constantly do. Now, what does this have to do with this? I finished the writings of Revelation 5. I've already started into chapter 6. I had to confess before the Lord because, let me tell you, I'm just saying this to you as a matter of prayer so that another area of thorns can be placed around me. I enjoy it so much apparently, okay? And I'm serious when I say this. So hear my heart. It's hard to work all day and then write all evening it's hard. Time, you run out of time. And the older I get, the less energy I have to do it. And I'm saying that to you as a source of prayer that you can pray that God will arrange it. I also know the impact of what I'm asking for, that God will arrange it so I can fulfill whatever call that he has in my life, because that comes first. Amen. And that's not just so for me, it's also so for you. You will eventually realize that after you run into as many thorns as I have, and then you'll start doing what God calls you to do, whether you want to or not. Everybody say amen to that too. Amen. Why? Because you got saved. And God took you up on it, and he said, okay, since you've asked, I'm going to finish what I start. Okay? So I'm finishing chapter 5, and I come to a verse that impacted my life as a 10-year-old boy. And it impacted my brother's life, whether he knows it or not. But he will remember this. When I was 10 years old, my grandfather had a heart attack. You've heard me tell the story. And he actually had a heart attack while he was driving a truck. And he was in Roanoke, Virginia, in a motel room, and he was having a heart attack. But he got in the truck, and he drove it back to Effort, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And when he got there, he went home, he got in the shower, and he had a massive heart attack. And so he fell out of the shower. And my grandmother, who was talking on the phone at the time, which she always did, she heard him fall. She goes in, she calls 911, they come, they take him to St. Joe Hospital in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Papa remembers them saying code blue. He remembers that being announced, code blue, code blue. It meant someone's dying. That someone was him. They gathered around his bedside. His heart stopped. He stopped breathing. He was gone for 15 minutes. They had pulled the sheet over his head, and they was taking him out of the emergency room, and he coughed. They pulled the sheet back, and he took a big deep breath. The doctor told him, Mr. Rowland, we lost you. And Papa, in a very weakened voice, said, I knew exactly where I was. What my grandfather recited after, I don't know, I think it was 2 months, 3 months later, ironically enough, well, while he was having a heart attack, I'd had a motorcycle wreck and I'd broken my leg. And so I was in one hospital, Papa was in the other hospital, my parents was up there with Papa, and so it was just a big chaotic mess. But after Papa got home, we went to his house in Pennsylvania, and I was sitting there, and he was laying on the couch, and I'm honest with you, as I know how to be, now I'm about 10 years old. There was a glow about him as he laid on that couch. And I noticed it as a child. There was a light over there. I can still see it in my mind, just as clear as a picture. I can see their living room. You walked into the kitchen and around the little wall, and the couch was all the way to the back wall, and there laid Papa, and he was covered up, and there was just a light about him. And he began to share with us what he experienced. I just share with you one thing that he said. He said where he was, he began to smell the most beautiful odors that he could ever. He said, I don't have words to describe it. And from that day until he went on to be with the Lord, if you was with my grandfather outside, he would find flowers and plants, anything that he could take and crush in his hand. And he'd walk around smelling his hands, trying to smell that same fragrance. And while he began to tell us about this fragrance that he smelled, Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8, and I think I've shared it with you before, says this, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. What my grandfather was smelling was the prayers of the people of God on his behalf. Did y'all hear that? I shared at the home for the holidays. One of those odors was a prayer from a 10-year-old boy that was laying in another hospital in a bed. And I was praying, Lord, please be with my papa. And my grandfather was smelling the odors of my prayers. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I ask you to turn over to Revelation 8. I can already tell I'm probably not going to get to the slides. Look at Revelation chapter 8. I encourage you to get these notes because I've got commentary on every verse. It'll teach you the book of Revelation. It's not exhaustive, but it'll give you practical application of this book. It's different than you think. It's not a book to be afraid of. If you've been saved and there's a hedge of thorns around you, you get to read this book and rejoice. But I want you to look at Revelation chapter 8. Did you hear what the verse we just read? The prayers of the saints are the odors, the fragrance in heaven. Let me say it this way. Everybody say, I'm listening. Your praying changes the atmosphere in heaven. If it changes the atmosphere in heaven, what do you think it's doing to earth? Are y'all believing what I'm saying? Look at Revelation 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. For 30 minutes of time in eternity, there will be no praise. There will be no outbursts of jubilation. Why? Because what you're seeing is so magnificent that even in perfection of eternity, words cannot describe it. Let's continue with chapter 8. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, please listen to this, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. Everybody look at me. Do you know what that means? I'm going to tell you what prayer does. Okay, and then I'm going to show you something here. We'll show you a few things on the slides. But listen to this. When you pray, your prayers ascends up to heaven. See, we simplify it and say, God hears us when we pray. But it's more than that. Your prayers ascends into heaven and produces a fragrance in heaven that can be smelt even by the angels. Then your prayers are bottled up by the angels and cast down through the second heavens, destroying demonic oppression and landing on earth in the form of a hedge to protect you. Now, what brings that into a physical realm is if you have the ability in the spirit to have faith in what I just said. Because if you don't, you're walking blindly and ignorantly. And just as sure as you walk blindly and ignorantly, you're going to attribute to yourself a whole lot more pain than what is necessary. Because you're going to run into the thorns. Go ahead and challenge God to a duel. See who wins. Who here among us thinks to be more knowledgeable than the creator of the universe? Anybody? Who here has more wisdom than the king of the universe? Anyone? Anyone here thinks themselves to be stronger than Jesus? Who here can break the power of the bonds of his word? So when you signed up for this thing through salvation, you signed up for a whole lot more than what you think you did. Now, how does this affect where we are? God is now calling us to a ministry of getting something done. And I believe that can only be happened by changing the heavenly atmosphere, which changes earth's atmosphere. I've watched over the last, longer than what I've been, can comprehend, but over the last while that I can comprehend it, I have watched as you cannot talk to people any longer about the cultural issues of the day, because truth no longer matters to them. So there's no need to talk about it. Do you know there's actually people out there that's protesting on behalf of Palestine? They're protesting in support of Hamas. You can't talk to people like that. Oh, by the way, these are Harvard graduates. Yeah. And let me just say, they're being taught this nonsense. So you cannot talk reasonably to people who no longer value truth. So then, what do? We change the atmosphere. How do we change the atmosphere? We get on our face before God and we pray. So I tell you this, we haven't even read the text yet, but watch this now. Revelation 4 shows you in heaven. Okay? I'm fixing to tell you, if we do this the Bible way, if you want to attack the crisis in the world, in the nation, and in your life, it's the same thing. Okay? Whether you realize it or not, you are under attack by Hamas. May not be the same physical manifestation, but it is the same spiritual spirit. No difference. You say my children are gone crazy. Hamas. My home's in shambles. It's Hamas. It's the same spirit, guys. Don't be spiritually ignorant. Paul wrote that several times. You know, people think I'm just fooling around when I say, well, it's ignorance. No, I'm not. Paul said, I would that you not be ignorant, brethren. Don't be blinded. A spirit has been released on the earth, and it's not just affecting them, it's affecting you. The battles you face concerning your own crisis of faith is the same spirit. And I'm telling you that it has with it a spiritual entity of insanity. And that can only be brought down through prayer. So Revelation 4 shows you in heaven, and it describes the throne, and you're rejoicing, and you're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." You're doing all that stuff. Then suddenly you get to chapter 5, and the theme in chapter 5 is around this book that's sealed that nobody can open. And suddenly the Lamb that was slain comes and takes the book out of the right hand of God and says, "I can open the book." And the saints of God rejoice and they say, "Hey, the Lamb is worthy to open the book." Guess what the book's full of? Judgment. And we're rejoicing over it. In chapter 5, how many are saved? You are there. John is seeing us there, rejoicing because the book of God's wrath is being opened. Wait a minute. Are y'all hearing that? Instead of me showing you the slides, let me just tell you what's on it. Okay? Everybody say, "I'm listening." There is a difference in the response and perspective of judgment as to whether or not you're in heaven or on earth. So, in physical form, we're on earth, right? And I'm saying this to you from a Bible reality, and I can prove it to you in the Word of God. Judgment is coming to the earth. Hello? And in physical form, that produces fear and dread. Does it not? But a heavenly perspective, it produces rejoicing and praise. Watch this. Listen. Go back to Revelation 5. Let me read the text. I'm going to start with verse 8. Everybody listen closely, okay? Listen closely. And when he had taken the book, that's the seven sealed book, full of the wrath of God. When he had taken the book, the four beasts, which represents the divine attributes of God, you get the writings, and the 24 elders, that's a representation of both Old Testament and New Testament saints. That's the combination of the host of heaven. Everybody say amen so far. This is all that is in heaven, look at what happens, falls down before the Lamb. Lord help, we can't even get people to stand up for worship. If somebody was to fall down in this assembly, why, the phones would burn off the hook. What in the world is that person doing? Let me just say this. The other Sunday, Justin and Lori Parker was here. Shit, they wouldn't care if I say this. They're friends of mine. Lori, but Lori worships in a demonstrative fashion. How many of y'all seen a woman back here the other Sunday and she was just going, "I can't even do it"? You know how she does. Y'all know how Lori does, doing this number, and then suddenly she was just down on the floor, right back there. She thinks nothing of it. Do you know why? Because she could care less what you think. See, she don't care what you think. I know her. I've known her all for 100 years, and listen, that was slight in comparison to the way she used to act at the church. And there'd be people come and say, "Ain't you going to tell her to behave?" And I said, "I ain't touching that. I will not touch that." You know why? Because I knew the power of her life. I knew a fact about her that you couldn't even say hello to her without her telling you something about Jesus. And she could care less what you thought. She only cared what the Lord thought. And she was getting on her face before God. Now watch this. That's exactly what you're going to do when you get to heaven. I just read it to you. You fall down before the Lamb. And you have every one harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Watch this. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Did y'all hear that part? They're so excited about the judgment and wrath of God being open that they wrote, we write a song about it. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the book. Look, watch this. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Can't be talking about the angels. Has to be talking about us. How many of y'all been redeemed? Y'all, why are y'all not saying amen? It's like you're lost. Are you zombied? Are you asleep yet or something? Watch. Listen. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Listen to this. It gets even more intense. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. They join us. So there's a difference between the song of the redeemed and the angelic host join, but they now join in round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands under heaven above. That's a host. You're part of that. Why are y'all not happy? So when I say the world's about to end, that's where we're going. That shouldn't bring fear and dread. It ought to bring excitement. Pack your bags. We're going on a trip, and it's going to be wonderful. The sights that we'll see can't even be described. Why, as a matter of fact, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hadn't even entered into my heart yet what God has in store for me. Why are you not excited about that if you're born again? Say amen to that. All right, it goes on. Watch now. And there we start singing again with the angels. Worthy is the Lamb. This is with a loud voice, by the way. So all of you that's wanting a quiet eternity, you're out of luck. Did you hear that? Loud.
You get 30 minutes.
Loud, that's right. You get 30 minutes, right. You get 30 minutes where you can let the spiritual melatonin sink in. But then after that, it's a loud voice, it says here. Saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forevermore. And the four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down again and worshiped him. Dear heaven above, I hope you'll get these notes and read them. But can I tell you what that passage says? Saddam Hussein is crying out, confessing Jesus as Lord. Osama bin Laden right now is confessing that Jesus is Lord. But they confess it too late. Yet their voice reverberates with the redeemed and the angelic host. All because God is fixing to judge the earth. See the difference in the perspectives? I preach on judgment and everybody throws a fit. But heaven is shouting loud. There's so much I want to tell you about this passage. So much. There's so much I can't even get it out. I can't get it out. I wrote pages and pages and pages and pages and pages and pages, and I looked and I had to delete half of it because it didn't make no sense. It was just me preaching to myself. And I wanted you to get the meaning and not me preaching. I wanted you to know what this means. See, God is calling you to a heavenly perspective. Can I tell you what the whole book of Revelation is about just for a second? I can put it in like two sentences almost. Okay, here's what it's about. At the Garden of Eden, when we fell, Satan come and took over the earth. The book of Revelation is Jesus coming and kicking him out of the earth. That's what it is. Takes a lot of judgment to do it. And then he wants to make sure that we have a purified earth to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, where the lion will lay down with the lamb. Somebody better say amen to that. The curse is lifted. Satan's locked up. There's no more devil. He can't get to you. Why? Because all the hedge of thorns around your life that you bumped up to and said, man, that hurts. God, why? Oh, God, why this? God, why that? And God's saying, I have to. I got to keep you right in the center of what I have for you. I've told you all this before, and I'm sharing it to you as a weakness. I told Wayne Hawks, that's Lisa's brother-in-law, married Lisa's sister. I told him this a long time ago. I've rehearsed it to Ken. And I'm going to tell you this, I'm done here. I'm finished. You know why God called me to preach? Because I'm weak. Not because I'm strong. I'm weaker than you are. And God knows for me, I have to do this or I can't stay in the center of his will. Whew. When I got that revelation of me, I got so repulsed by my own self. And I really did. I said, oh God, I'm a mess. And then God said this, but I choose the weak things of the world to confound the wise. I chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. So God said, I had to put a bunch of thorns in your path. But Lord, they hurt. God said, I know. But I got to keep you in the center of my will. I got to finish in you what I started. See, for me, it ain't about preaching to thousands. It's just about being faithful to his call. Because in that day, the last will be first. And the first will be last. So unfortunately, you're caught up in my storm. For you, I say unfortunately. I hope that's the perspective. Y'all got caught up in my storm. We're sitting there.
Quick to throw you over.
I believe he would too. I was sitting there at y'all's house the other day, and Christopher was there when I got there. Unfortunately, Mackenzie showed up, and it messed everything up. But Mackenzie came in, and I thought, I have family. But you're stuck in my storm and me in yours. Joe, from birth, we got stuck in each other's storms. Ken, Joel, poor old Mark back there had been beat from pillar to post. You can tell it too. Look at him. Old Joe Barrett pulled up a picture on his TV screen the other day. No, there's a commercial on there. And it was this weird-looking frog alien. And Joe Barrett pointed and said, He looks like Mark. He did. Had that big, remember? Had that big old nose. We got caught up in each other's storms. See? Now, why I'm saying that is because, and I'm done here. When we gather as a local congregation, we're caught up in each other's storms, but we can also rejoice in each other's victories. I know the implications of what I'm about to pray. Lord, put a hedge around the grace place and fill it full of thorns if you have to. But direct every person that's sitting here into a deep, deep, not a shallow relationship with you, but a deep relationship with you, and fill each one with the hunger of the depth of the knowledge of your word. Because that's the only way that we'll ever get a heavenly perspective of anything. Lord, do it. It's not just a heavenly perspective of judgment. I'm just using that as an illustration. We need a heavenly perspective of life. We don't have it. We need it. We better get there. Lord, put a hedge around us. Oh, God. If pain has to come, let it be. Because your kingdom's more important. Your purposes, Lord, are of far greater importance and value than the way we feel and than what we want. So change heaven's atmosphere with our prayers. Change the earth's atmosphere with our prayers. You want to go to war for someone, as Tasha was talking about? I've said that statement I don't know how many times, just this week. You want to go to war for someone, start praying for them. But if you go to war with somebody, make sure you're not getting caught up in their same storm. Choose carefully who you get in the foxhole with. It better be somebody you can count on. Somebody you can depend on. That at a moment's notice, you can say, hey, I'm drowning. And they don't have to go through 3 months of confession of their own life before they can pray for you. Dear God, help us. Raise up some people, Lord. You got to. We won't survive this without it. You got to raise up some people. You got to call some people. You got to raise them up. You got to show them something. I pray that darkness will just be lifted and light will shine and we can see. Show us. Show us, Lord. Show us where we're supposed to be. Help us to get there. And then let us do real warfare. God, help us. Who here will say, I feel the Lord calling me to a higher level with Him? Even now, you raise your hand. Yeah. Boy, that's the whole congregation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because my hand's up. I understand what you're asking for now. There may be some pain involved just to keep us where we need to be. Might be. But can I tell you, the treasure is far greater than the difficulties. Paul said it. He said, the things of this world that happens to me, nothing in comparison to the glory that'll be revealed in us. So, Lord, you saw what I believe to be the commitment with people raising their hands. Now I pray, Holy Spirit, who cannot lie, hold us accountable to your word, to the person of who you are. And we're going to trust you, Lord, with each other. that we can be fit for the battle. We're fixing to finish up on earth, and we want to finish a whole lot better than we started, that's for sure. So God, I'm praying that you'll make us fit for the battle. Seasoned warriors that stands in their place, regardless of convenience or inconvenience, regardless of trial or persecution, regardless of man's applause or man's criticism, we stand in our place, we do our calling, and we change heaven's atmosphere for the grace place. And we ask, Lord, for there to be an opened heaven above this church, and that the prayers of your people will destroy any demonic obstruction that's above us. And Lord God, that you'll fill this place with your glory. Let it radiate in here so that when people walk in, we won't have to do anything. They just fall down in worship. They fall down in conviction. They fall down in your presence, in your glory, and their lives are changed. Let us see what cannot be seen, hear what can't be heard by the voice of your Spirit. Lord, I've tried to be obedient today to your word, and I thank you for all you've done. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.